Morena, you're listening to RDU 98.5. Well, in my final week of election coverage, we are tackling the Islam electorate, and I'm very excited to kick it off this morning with leader of the Opportunities Party, Mr. Raf Manji. Good morning, Raf.
Good morning. Good morning from the greatest electorate in the country.
There we go. That sounds like a man who's been in an election. How's it all going?
Yeah, look, it's going great. I mean, we're into the last 10 days. It was the home stretch. And, at this point in the campaign, I mean, I've been going 18 months, really, since I came on as leader. And, you know, it's been a long, hard slog. But there's excitement when you get to the end and you can kind of think, oh my God, it's going to be over soon. And I might get some sleep, or maybe not, who knows. but it's going well. The feedback is really positive, and we're having great conversations with people. And yeah, I mean, as we've discussed before, people are a little bit down and they're sort of quite keen to get this election out of the way and move on. But it's going well, and we're enjoying it. We're getting out and about and meeting a lot of people, and particularly getting the younger generation engaged, particularly at university. And so looking forward to it, and we're pretty positive.
Oh, that's great to hear. And your conversations with people, I think that's what I'm super curious about. What are really the big issues, big challenges for the electorate that you're hearing from residents?
Look, I mean, just yesterday, two really interesting conversations. One with some health professionals who just came down for a street corner meeting, and just the health system is barely hanging on. And this affects everyone, and particularly in Ireland, we have a lot of people who work in the health sector. You know, the hospital is close by.
Yeah, right. Of course,
a lot of health professionals. Nurses, aged care workers, doctors, surgeons, the whole gamut of public service workers, and of course teachers. But the health system is stuffed, and this is something to lay at Labour's door. And I think the approach to or attempt to centralise, build a new centralised health system as you're coming out of a pandemic where everything is stretched anyway was just the craziest idea ever. And the impact of the person, it's hitting everyone. And I think just for everyone, go and see your GP is just a nightmare at the moment. And God help you if you have to go to hospital and, be the Avenue Clinic not being 24/7 anymore. So that's a big issue. But I had a fascinating conversation with a guy yesterday. He was a Māori guy, and he was probably 40-odd. And, we're talking about wages and just the cost of living. Now, we hear this thing about the cost of living all the time.
I can imagine.
He was saying, actually, he's getting paid now the same he was getting paid 20 years ago.
My God.
And he just sort of said that essentially wages have not kept up with house prices. I mean, this is the fundamental problem that people are coming to grips with. And we often talk about, we jump to the solutions, whether it's capital gains tax or land value tax or whatever. But actually, for a lot of people, and I mean, I had this actually from older people. So I was in a retirement home last week, and a quite a well-to-do one. It was like a five-star hotel. And I said, could I move in here? Because it's quite nice. And but no, you have to be over 65. And even they were saying, look, this has not worked out. We allowed and enjoyed the fact that house prices just went up and it was like free money to people. But now they're seeing the impacts on that actually the next generations and people who have been on wages and maybe renting for a long time are in a very disadvantaged position and it can't hold. So, these are the two big issues, the cost of living and health and a lot of stuff that comes out of that, whether it's, retail crime, they're just kind of symptoms of this underlying cause, which is that we haven't got housing right, and poor housing leads to poor health, and expensive housing leads to poor outcomes, and that's really what we need to fix. And we haven't really in this election talked about it enough, because there's usually just we don't like taxes, so we won't talk about any of this stuff.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, well, that was a short conversation.
Yeah, yeah. No one likes to drag that one out, but unfortunately it kind of needs to be done. Anyway, one really interesting thing about, I think, your candidacy is this whole visiting student flats, talking to students and that. And that's not really something we've seen from many other candidates at all. So I'd love to get your perspective on this. And what are those meetings and conversations like? What are youth and students, where are their areas of concern?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I did this in 2017, and I think it's probably because I've been an eternal student. You know, I've been to university four times and was attempting a fifth time before I took this on. And I mean, I love learning, and you know, I love hanging out at university, and because it's a place of interest. And yeah, I think, look, it's been very interesting that people make a lot of assumptions about students, and they're mostly untrue. So everyone goes, oh, they're all kind of greenies and what have you, and they're not at all, actually. They're thoughtful, they're intelligent, because they're at university. And I go round, and you know, we sit around in a lounge, and everyone piles round, and usually like 10, 15 people, and they're all really smart, and they ask me all kinds of questions. My God, it's a real grilling.
And yeah, right, expect, okay.
You know, these are our sort of, you know, best and brightest academically. And we have great conversations about, you know, the main things, obviously housing, climate change, crime, but also things like, you know, what does the future look like? What about innovation? What about science and technology? What does this world look like? And, I really enjoy that stuff. I mean, I could easily see myself, you know, lecturing at uni or something like that. It's fun, and it's and yeah, some of the flats are a bit on the untidy side, would be one way of putting it. And, for somebody who's totally OCD about having clean kitchens and stuff, it's a bit tricky to find a surface to sit down on that's that's nice and tidy. But look, I mean, it's also fun. I mean, we've been to the Babe Cave and the Ken Dom and all this stuff, and one guy invited me, it was his 21st, and I had to stay to watch him do his yard of ale, which was which was kind of interesting. I have to say, not much of it seemed to be digested, but that's a different story. it's fun, and it's also, you know, it's also taking these students seriously. I mean, it's not often they get a politician that would talk to them other than coming to give them talk. Yeah, I'm just going around there and saying, right, fire away, what do you want to know? And often some of them ask me about my career and what I did and how that worked out. And it's important to engage with our young people in a listening way rather than just, you know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of going, standing up and giving speeches and then leaving the room. It's about actually, okay, here I am. What do you want to know? What do you want to ask me? And I even did the Lads Without Labels Run 72. I said, I'll come along and do a lap. Well, I had to run 2K around university, which was quite hard going. I'm totally unfit at the moment. And also, all these guys came up to me running at, like, you know, three times as quick as me and then wanted to talk to me. And I said, look, I can't talk and run.
I know. Isn't it difficult?
Everyone's, like, gasping. I said, do you have a defibrillator on the side? There's a lot of good stuff going on. And actually, fortunately, there was this other group there who have actually started a bed business. It's a kind of student bed business.
I know the one. Yeah, its name escapes me, but yes.
I can't remember what it's called. Something like student flat pack beds or something.
Yeah, something like that, yep.
Yeah, I was able to lie down on the bed to recover, so that was quite nice. but I think it's just they feel like, you know, essentially like there's somebody who actually cares about what they think. That's as much important as the chat. And you know, I've had dinners at places. I've got some dinners coming up. So I mean, I'm out pretty much every night, and I've got some morning teas. Got some scones being baked for me. So that's all good.
Oh God, sounds great. I might need to run for an election. I have to say, I'm glad you mentioned it, but Mangy Mania at the Babe Cave. it has to be my favourite caption to come out of this election, I think. That really made me laugh.
It was fun. So we'd actually bumped into them at a cafe, and they'd sort of come over and said, "Oh my God, can we take a photo?" And I said, "Yeah." And then they said, "Can we have a billboard?" And I said, "Yeah, we'll drop one round to you." So we went round, and yeah, they had sort of some, you know, RAF posters on the wall, and it was all the kind of, you know, it was that sort of Barbie Ken mania. But it was quite funny because they actually had, a bunk bed in their living room. I thought, okay, that's kind of
Jesus, okay.
Some people just stopping over for the night. But it's good fun. I mean, look, you know, then the Kendon boys wanted a visit too, and there was a bit of a flat battle.
Of course.
It was the most popular. Then I went round to one of the halls, I think Rochester Rumsford Hall, for a chat. And, it just sort of sparks a bit of fun and interest. And I think that's a good thing. And it's just about getting people engaged. You know, I say, look, obviously you've got to vote RAF for Ireland, but, you know, just get out there and vote. And ultimately, this is your future that now, you know, is being planned. And the sooner you get involved in it, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch on a topic that really hasn't gone away from this election, always finds its way back to the top, is this discussion of a wealth tax.
Yeah.
Which some parties are for, some are against. There's growing evidence to suggest a lot of Kiwis are quite interested in it. I know you don't particularly support a wealth tax. I'd just be interested to get from you, kind of articulate why you don't so much support this idea.
Yeah, look, I mean, James Shaw did an interview with Jack Tane yesterday on the wealth tax, which is worth watching because Jack picked a lot of holes in it and James wasn't really able to answer the questions clearly. I mean, essentially, a wealth tax has huge compliance issues.
Right.
For us, it taxes that bit of the asset base that we want to increase, which is basically the productive economy. I mean, we want people to build businesses, we want people to build tech businesses, and if wealth is a driver of that, then great. And of course, we want people to benefit in terms of shareholders and better models for shareholders and co-ops and things like that. So that's one side. But obviously, a big part of the wealth tax is land prices. And I think that's the bit that we're focused on.
Right.
And land value tax, as we propose, very simple to collect. There's no real major compliance. We already value land everywhere. And so, we don't support a wealth tax because we think it will have distortionary impacts and will not deal with the main issue, which is housing. I don't care if someone's making a shed load of money if everyone can afford to live in a house. That's really the main driver for me. And the compliance costs are huge. And actually, it was pretty clear that the Greens hadn't really done any proper work around the compliance side of things, how it would be collected. And so it was a bit flaky. Now, I think if Labour had come out with a very simple capital gains tax, that would have been a winner.
Right.
They would have won the election. And I think the fact that Jacinda ruled it out like forever and then Hipkins has ruled it out forever is really bad policy. I mean, it's the Labour Party, for God's sake. You know, they did all this work on their tax principles. And again, it's like, well, you're the Labour Party. You should know what your tax principles are. You want to tax capital, right? So it's a really simple policy. And I think they've lost their courage because of this tendency to go towards the median voter. But actually, all the polling shows people support a capital gains tax. And a capital gains tax is easy. There's no compliance issues. It's quite easy to collect it. Every time a property gets sold, the government takes whatever, 20% of the difference between the price you bought it for, the price you sold it for. It's not difficult to do. And at least that would have given people a sense of, you know, something is happening here. You know, it's not perfect. And then, you know, what we propose, which is actually having rating for local government rates just on land value only, if you put that together with a capital gains tax, you kind of have the same outcomes you want, which is, you know, dealing with land banking, making land, you know, be used more productively, and you capture some of that uplift in gains. That's it. It's really simple to do. And I think, unfortunately, we've ended up with the Greens going for the big bazooka wealth tax, because then they can say, like, tax the rich, and, you know, and some people like that. But actually, our economy is stagnating, and we need to generate wealth. That's actually quite important. And we need to really just focus on the taxation of housing. So we've ended up in a really unfortunate situation where no one is really talking about the housing issue. And that's because Labour actually hasn't come up with any policy on that. And so we've ended up actually in a bit of a cul-de-sac, which is disappointing because this stuff does need to be dealt with.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. Now, given you're actually the only party leader I've had, I'm going to take advantage and ask this question to you now. And in your perspective, what would it mean to have the voice of the Opportunities Party in Parliament?
Oh, that's, you know, that's so important. I think to have a, I mean, the Parliament is crying out for a new party.
Yeah.
And as much as the other parties are doing their best to keep us out of the conversation, actually the Green Party is the worst because they do phone banking and we get a lot of people we know who get called, and the Green Party say, oh, don't vote for Top, it's a wasted vote. And it's like, sorry, that's not cool. And we need an infusion of fresh energy and fresh thinking, and we want to bring a fresh voice to Parliament. And the fact that our politics is stagnating, the fact that people are despondent, the fact that people don't really know who they want to vote for because they're a bit tired of Labour and National. And I think we can really shake Parliament up. You know, it's not just about policy or what are you going to get and all this stuff. It's actually changing the way we talk about these issues. I mean, I can go out there and spend the next 3 years talking about stuff that really matters in great detail to the public in a different way. And I think the problem with electoral campaigns is everything gets squashed into sound bites, and often you don't have good conversations about the stuff that really matters.
Yeah, right.
But Parliament offers a platform to talk about these things. And I think the problem with our adversarial system is we get into a government of the day and the opposition, and they just sort of bish-bosh at each other the whole time. But we don't actually have proper conversations where you can get everyone in the rooms and ask questions and say, well, Grant Robertson, well, Nicola Willis, what do you actually think about housing? You know, look at these stats about house price rises. What do you think that makes sense? Do you think that's fair? Do you think it's a good idea that house prices have outstripped wages by about, you know, 5-6 times, and actually have those conversations outside of this nonsense that we have? And I think we really need to get to grips with that. And for me, for us getting into Parliament, that's what we're going to bring.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think very well said there. And more, the more voices in Parliament, I think, the better, quite frankly. It can't be... It's a harmless thing, to be honest. Now, I have one final question that I've been asking all the candidates I've been interviewing, and that's simply because we here at RDU, we love music, we love arts, particularly local musicians as well. So, Raph, what music are you listening to at the moment?
Oh, that's a very good question. I've done my books post. There should really be one about films too, because I'm a total film buff. Music, I've been listening a lot to a playlist I have on my phone, which is called Groove. Okay,
great name.
And I sort of get in the car and I whack it on. You know, I'm in and out all the time, and I start with Fatboy Slim, and then it goes.
Then it goes from there.
You know, and it's. It's cool. I think it's good to have music, and it's good to have a bit of fun, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here you go. Can you hear that?
No, I missed that. Oh, well.
Can you hear me playing that?
No, I can't.
Ah, okay.
Oh, damn.
Well, so basically, I was playing a bit of Right Here, Right Now. So that's what I started. You know, that sort of orchestral start.
Yeah. Very familiar.
Powers you up. For the day ahead, you know, so I need a bit of groove to get me going.
Hey, fair enough, actually. I think that's a very healthy way to start your mornings. Hey, Raph, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's much appreciated, and it's really cool to be seeing you on the road doing your thing, bringing a bit of originality to this whole election. So it's much, much appreciated. Raph, thank you for joining me.
And thank you for having me, and I'll be speaking to you in 2 weeks as the new MP for Ireland.
Yeah, I can't wait. Have a great day.
All right, man. Take it easy. See ya.